I'm Farron Peterson. I am at Churchill Downs today with Bee Buck. She is a freelance photographer for Churchill Downs. She has shot 6 Kentucky Derbies and 2 Breeders' Cups by the age of 38. Mm-hmm. Bee, Welcome on.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Welcome back to the Boundless Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Farron Peterson, a professional jockey and veterinarian in Lexington, Kentucky. We are here to learn from stories of resilience, risk-taking, and perseverance.
The views and opinions expressed in this episode are solely those of the guest and do not reflect the views of Churchill Downs.
So when did you pick up your first camera?
So I've always just kind of had an interest in photography and always picked up a camera as like a kid. I was always stealing it from my parents and like trying to take pictures of whatever I could. And then for me to get a really good camera, I had to take my sister's engagement pictures. And I borrowed a camera from a friend, and then my parents didn't believe that I actually took the pictures. So they were like, maybe we should look at getting you a camera. And so it kind of started from there back in, I think, 2015. Or 2014, somewhere in there. So,
and yeah. What caused your interest in horses?
I've always loved horses. I was just that like little girl that you meet that was just crazy about horses and was like, oh my gosh, there's a horse. We need to go. Need to go see the horse. And so I was just that person. And then my parents got me into lessons at age 7. I got my first horse when I was 10 and did 3-day eventing with her. Nothing huge. You know, just kind of the lower level eventing, and I had her for 22 years. So just always had that passion for horses and loving on them, and they're amazing, amazing animals.
So, yes, they are.
Yep.
I had my horse for 22 years as well.
Oh, wow,
and
yeah.
Did low level dressage, some jumping, mm-hmm. Nothing fancy, but there's something so special about just learning together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I like, when I first got her, she was completely green. Mm-hmm. And I was still learning to ride. So it was like I was training her as I was learning. So it was this massive partnership that we ended up having. And by the time that I ended up sadly losing her, like if I moved a centimeter in the saddle, she knew what I wanted her to do. So it was really just this amazing partnership that you end up having.
Yeah, you were in sync.
Yep, very much.
How did you learn your trade as a photographer? Did you have a mentor?
So I was a lot of self-taught in the beginning because I just didn't branch out, and I just kind of learned a lot on my own by trial and error and by a lot of practice. And then when I ended up getting into photographing polo, I met my mentor, who then brought me on with the Kentucky Derby. And through him, he really helped me define what my style in racing was going to be. And I always go to him even today, and I'm just like, hey, what do you think about this? Like, what can I do better? What am I doing wrong? And he has always been like, yeah, that's good, but we can do this. Like, why don't you try this? Like, how can we adjust this and make it better? And also, I studied art history in college for a little bit, so being able to really look at all of the different art that's out there and sculptures and different things like that has really put in full frame for me, like how I want my style to be and how to frame something up in a picture.
I have found it so important to have a mentor you trust that you can go to for honest feedback.
Yes.
To keep growing, keep improving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I think you get a lot of people that are like, oh, if I say this, it's going to hurt them. And I just really, I crave almost criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Constructive criticism is right. What I'm finding out. So if I don't have constructive criticism that's coming to me, I'm like, what am I doing wrong?
Right. Which way do I go?
Yeah. It's like,
I just want to go up.
Yeah. Right. Right. You know, and you just, when you strive for that, I want to get better and I want to be the best that I can be. Mm-hmm. It's what am I doing? What can I do? What can I improve? And sometimes it's the mentor isn't there or the feedback isn't there. So you really have to dig deep and start examining you and what you're doing and your processes, and then just try things and see what works. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So you bring up your style. What is your style?
So I would say that I kind of have more of a gritty sport artistic style. I really love shooting the details on racing and on anything to do with racing, primarily the horses is what I really love. I love shooting the baths and really kind of focusing on the water and how it splashes on the horses and the movement that that creates, I find really fascinating. So I've always loved like doing that type of stuff and getting that dirt flying and trying to find the little details that you're not necessarily going to see unless you really look closely at it. So
I have followed your work on social media for years, and it really does set you apart. Part of it, you can tell that you're connected with the horses, you follow them, you love them, you know, you're rooting for them. I also noticed that you bring out their personality in your photography, and as someone who's not necessarily artistic, I can pick that up, but how do you do that? How do you bring out an individual horse's character?
So sometimes it's, a lot of it is honestly spending time around the horse. So it's not necessarily like a trick where I think some people think that you just, you know, you go in there and you just poke the horse and it does something cute and you take a picture of it. Sometimes it's literally waiting at the stall or outside the stall for 30 minutes for the horse to do just the right thing. And you're like, oh, that's it. Sometimes it's a matter of, you know, talking to the grooms and talking to the exercise riders and being like, oh, well, what is it that they do that's like very them? And so you have to learn about the horse and the individual horse to be able to bring out their personality. And if you're not doing that, you're not going to be able to really know what their quirks are to be able to capture that.
You sound like a National Geographic photographer, just wait in the wild for a wild animal to finally show up and
get that
perfect shot.
Yeah, sometimes it is that. You know, there's been a lot of times that I just will stand on the rail and I'm not doing anything and I'll be out there for 2 hours or I'm looking for a specific horse. And so then that horse comes out and I'm like, okay, here we go. You know, it's go time
How do you pick that horse out? Thoroughbreds only come in a few different colors. A lot of them are bays with maybe a few markings. When there are Churchill Downs is a huge racetrack. When you have, you know, even during Derby week, maybe 100 horses going off and on the track. How do you find that horse?
A lot of it is studying the horses. I usually start in January looking at like the list of the Derby and Oaks horses that have already earned points on the trail, and I'm like, okay, which ones do I think are probably going to be here for those 2 weeks during Derby? And so I sit down and I find pictures of them and I study them, and I study them down to their hooves, because you're absolutely right, like some of these horses are just plain bays and it'll be just that one hoof that looks a little different. And that's what sets them apart. So that's what will let you know, oh, well, this is this horse versus this horse. And then spotting them across the track, usually once I see them on the track, I can kind of visualize their running style. And then I also learn what gear that they usually have on them. So I can learn, you know, oh, well, it's not going to be this horse because they don't go out in a breastplate, or it's not going to be this horse because they don't go out with a shadow roll, or different
very
things like that.
Detail oriented.
Yes. And then riders too, they help out with that because they usually have the same exercise rider whenever they go out. So that's another thing that I look for as well. So.
And when talking about exercise riders and horses, you've spoken to me before. I can tell you have a high level of respect and trust with getting to know those riders and putting them in their best light. You've talked to me about, you know, capturing the right kind of moment, position. Any of us, I guess, doing an athletic performance, we're not always going to look the best. And so getting that right stride, and you were talking to me about that extra care that you have of not posting your work if it might not put someone in the best light. Can you go into that?
Yeah, so one thing about just being alive in general for horses and for us as humans is that we don't always look right. We don't always look picture perfect. And so with that, you know, you catch somebody when they're in the middle of eating and they don't look the best. So you probably don't want to put that picture out there. The person's probably not going to want that picture out there. Horses are the same way. Jockeys are the same ways. Riders are the same ways. And I think, too, to a certain extent, with how much scrutiny our sport is under right now, it's very important to not give anything that you can sit there and go, oh, well, that horse, you know, looks like they're in pain. So I'm not going to post that one shot where the horse has thrown its head up just a little bit. Like, I want it to be in a specific position, or you want their stride to be to where they're coming forward so that their muscles look bigger and they look more powerful. Mm-hmm. And I always look at the riders and it's like, does the rider look like they're in good balance? Because I want the riders to look good. So it's, you know, sometimes you guys get kind of unseated sometimes if a horse will kind of duck out, you know, mm-hmm. and
I'd rather not have that out on the internet.
Exactly. So, you know, it's a way for me to watch out for you guys and watch out for the horses. Just kind of looking at, I really want these horses to look amazing because this is my passion. The mm-hmm. horses have always been my passion. So it comes back to them. I want them to look great. And if they don't look their best, I'm not going to put it out there. I can go out and take 7,000 pictures in a morning. Now, granted, like, I do usually shoot on like a high speed continuous, so I'm shooting a lot of the same stuff. But with that, I'm getting a lot of different expressions. I'm getting a lot of different strides. I'm able to literally pick basically what I want to put out there. But I would rather have 1,000 images and just pick one and throw those other ones away to have that one good one that shows the rider in the best light, that shows the horse in the best light, that shows their personality and who, you know, the horse is and who the rider is.
We're at Churchill Downs now with Bea.
Bea, how many shots do you have to take to get the perfect shot?
Honestly, it's with that, it's almost not how many shots do I have to take. It's which one do I decide that I want to use, and based off of what the horse and the rider does. Because when I'm shooting, I'm looking for certain things. So I'm looking for the ears to be forward. I'm looking for the horses to be on the right stride. I'm looking for the right lighting. I'm looking for the right exposure.
And when you say the horse and rider, you're looking for them to be in sync.
Yes. Yeah.
A connection.
Sometimes like the rider looking at the horse, or like the horse's ears being back listening to the rider. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're pricked forward watching what they're doing. Sometimes they're watching you. Sometimes when the rider is breezing, they'll have their crop behind them and then they'll pull out their crop. And that's kind of something that's cool to try to capture. Definitely like another thing I love to get is when they're coming around the turn, being able to like look at their watch and getting that, because it shows that they're focusing on the job that they're doing. But usually coming around the turn when you're shooting at like 30 frames a second, it's not hard to come out of like one work with maybe 250 images. And really with that, as long as I can get maybe 3 or 5 images out of that, then I'm really happy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, with the ears, that's something that I pay attention to in a race. And if I can get my horse's ears to come back and mm-hmm. listen to me and get them to relax early in the race, I'm like, all right, I have this horse's attention, mm-hmm. have their focus. And then when we're going down the lane, asking the horse to go all out, if they pin their ears at the horse next to them, then you know they're competitive, mm-hmm. they're really engaged, and they want to win.
Uh-huh, absolutely.
So ears tell you a lot about a horse. I find that with riding so many different horses, like the more we can get on, it's kind of like the 10,000 hours mm-hmm. idea of mastering something. And that's what I love about the sport too, is you can never master it, because horses are always going to teach us something mm-hmm. new.
Absolutely.
Each one's an individual, but just getting on so many horses, and especially in the morning, and trying to find that horse. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite things about young horses.
Oh, completely.
Is all of a sudden the light bulb turns on. Mm-hmm. And some are later bloomers, but being with that horse and finding that moment when you see, okay, this horse has potential. And even horses I've started to have become Breeders' Cup contenders. Mm. I haven't been able to stay on them for the mount. You know, the connections often like choose someone
we'll go
else.
For a bigger rider.
Right.
Yeah.
But at least learning to recognize like those signs of mm-hmm. what it is. And some of the horses have been really small horses. Some of them have been kind of distracted and naughty early on. And then all of a sudden it's like they understand what their job is.
It's like a flip gets switched completely. Yeah. And they're like, oh, yeah, here we go. Okay, mm-hmm. I got this.
Yeah.
I got this. I want to fight for this.
And I think most animals want to have a job.
Oh, absolutely.
Kind of like
working dogs. Mm-hmm. Yep, like, I agree. They always seem like they're happier mm-hmm. when they're doing some type of work.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I'm sure, like, the shot percentage that I end up with is very similar to jockeys with your all's win percentage and stuff that you all look for.
If we can be in the low 20s, we're doing great.
That's good. But that's really good.
That means 80% of the time, we're losing.
But it's okay. You got to lose so you can win at some point in time. You got to put yourself out there. And if you're not, then at the end of the day, you're going to fail anyways.
And it makes the wins more rewarding.
Absolutely. 1,000%.
Right.
So
quality over quantity.
Yes, absolutely. Every time.
It always seems to be just that right shot. What would you say then was your breaking point? When did you establish yourself and maybe see your first photo, you know, hung up in a famous place, or kind of when did you make it?
So I think one time that I was definitely like, oh my gosh, I've made it, was probably in 2021. I believe it was 2021 when Essential Quality was running in the Derby, and I took a picture of his bath and Twitter put it on their banner. And so that was really kind of cool to see.
Wow.
And my boss screenshotted it and sent it to me and was like, hey, look, you're famous. And I was like, oh my gosh, no. So that was definitely one. And then working at Churchill Downs, there's a lot of opportunity for different things. And so I have several pieces that I've taken hanging in the Jockey Club suites, which is pretty cool to find. Yeah. So, you know, just different stuff like that. It's really humbling because I never thought that my work would be out there on the scale that it is.
Right.
So it's very cool.
Yeah. I don't think you can get much better than Breeders' Cup and the Kentucky Derby. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So
what has been the toughest part of learning to photograph racehorses for you?
I think it's not necessarily about photographing them. It's about like learning how the track worked, really. Because I don't come from a racing background at all. So having nothing, I really relied on the people that would like take me under their wing. And one of them was one of my best friends, Danielle Rozier, who she latched onto me immediately in 2018 and was like, here, let me show you. And she was in Dwayne Lucas's barn at the time, so I learned a lot in Wayne's barn and, you know, just how to behave and how to respect the barn area and, you know, where do you walk when you're in the barn and how do you behave around, like, a two-year-old? Because it's very different than a bomb-proof three-day eventer that, you know, I'm usually used to. So I found that a little difficult. And then I also found when you're – you really have to push your camera to the limits when you're shooting with very little light. So I did kind of struggle with that for a little bit because I am like very self-taught, but luckily my mentor came alongside me who also worked with me and brought me along with the Kentucky Derby. And he was so kind about it and was so encouraging. It was just always like, okay, you've got it, but like, let's try this. And then when he did that, it was like, oh, okay, that makes more sense. And then it just kind of clicked. So
awesome.
Yeah.
What kind of things would you not do with your camera around high performance thoroughbreds versus if you're shooting at a polo match or something else?
Swing the camera around. You're definitely not going to want to do that. I always try to even cover up if there's something shiny on the camera around a thoroughbred because they will spook at anything and everything and things that aren't there. So you never really know. So I just always try to be very slow. I try to always, you know, if I know that a horse is coming on this side of me and I'm facing this side, I try to make sure that I know where that horse is and I try to not move my camera. And just being aware of what you are doing in your space and where things are.
Thank you. Good morning.
Luckily with mirrorless now, we have a shutter that's silent. So that is great and extremely helpful, I think, for you guys riding the horses and the horses and us as well. Because I've had horses spook at a shutter noise. And so you just really have to watch yourself and what you're doing and make sure that you're at a safe distance as well from the horse because they can be extremely unpredictable.
Well, I appreciate that as a rider. Sometimes I'm holding my breath, passing a photographer hanging over the rail that I don't recognize and thinking, okay, I hope my horse, mm-hmm. you know, doesn't duck out from under me. Yeah. I don't think people who haven't been around horses don't necessarily understand that.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, it's also when we're in our photography meetings and stuff like that, we're aware that a lot of the rules and regulations that are kind of given to us are because, you know, something like this has happened. And, you know, there's certain places where we can kneel down and we can kind of get like a, you know, looking up type of shot. But then there's other places on the track where we can't. Mm-hmm. And it's simply because horses, if they see somebody kneeling on the ground, they think it's going to attack them. Mm-hmm. You know,
right.
And so
they are prey animals.
They uh-huh. are. Yeah. So you've got that nature. And if people are in a line for some odd reason, they're like, oh, it's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, we can have five people standing and two people kneeling, and then there's more people standing and it's fine. I don't mm-hmm. know what it is about it, but you just have to be so aware of yourself on the rail and what's around you.
Right.
All the time.
What is it like to see a race that close through a lens?
Really cool. Really cool. You know, for the Derby, we're on the track and we don't have anything in between us and the horses. And we're literally like on the dirt. And when you're looking through that lens and just watching those horses come bounding towards you. And sometimes if you're not paying attention and you don't realize your depth perception, they look like they're coming straight at you.
Oh,
and
wow.
like you're gonna get run over if mm-hmm. you don't move. So, you know, it's just kind of, it's really cool. And then it's very cool to go back and look at what you've gotten. And if you're going for like a specific detail shot, like I do sometimes, I try to, the horses, I get them coming head on, usually at me. And then I will try to get a horse, pick out a horse in the crowd. Like there's a horse that I like, you know, for that Derby or that Oaks. Mm-hmm. And so I'll pick them out and I try to find them in the mass of horses that's running by. And then if I'm able to get it, great, you know. And then mm-hmm. I have these really nice detail shots of these horses that are just one individual horse that's in focus in the middle of the race. And it's cool because you get to pick that apart and what that horse is doing. And so it's very cool.
I saw your photo hanging up in Churchill Downs of Rich Strike winning the Kentucky Derby.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'd say you made it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a very cool, that was a very cool Derby. I got several different shots from that Derby that were really neat. The one of him winning that I just found in Churchill mm-hmm. Downs the other night was a massive surprise. I didn't
there's my work.
Expect to see it. I was like, oh my gosh, what? And then the other one, another big one that I got from that race was we always try to get a shot of the roses with just the horse's head. And I got mm-hmm. that shot and that kind of went viral on the internet. So that was pretty cool.
Oh, so I've seen that shot.
Yes.
I didn't know it was yours.
Yes, it's mine.
It's definitely viral.
Yes, it was very viral. Everybody was using it. Uh-huh. So yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. Thank you.
When you're standing on the track for the Kentucky Derby and 20 horses are running down the lane, can you feel it?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Just a vibration uh-huh. through your bones?
It's like a rumble.
Uh-huh.
Like that's just kind of under your feet.
And then you have the roar of the crowd.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then you're focused.
And sometimes I don't even hear the roar of the crowd because I'm just literally so focused on what I'm doing
mm-hmm.
that I'm just like, okay, here come the horses. Like, we got to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I end up hyper-focusing.
You have such a short time span.
Yes.
Capture.
Yes. And you have to get it right because they're not coming back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
can you guys go around one more time?
Yeah, right. It's no pressure at all. Can we load everybody back in the starting gate yeah. and do that again? So yeah, it's a lot of pressure of you got to get this right the first time. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, you've missed it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, learning to get it right the first time and being able to operate under that pressure as well is a lot sometimes. So,
oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I always say it's the champions that rise to the pressure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 1,000%.
Yeah.
1,000%. So.
What is a typical week like for you during the Kentucky Derby? Mm-hmm. How much do you sleep?
Not a lot. Mm-hmm. Not a lot. So I will usually wake up at 4 and I'm usually at the track by 5.
What time do horses start training?
Usually during Derby week, they train at 5:15.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually do my Derby grind for 2 weeks. So, I will take off from my full-time job and then come out here for 2 weeks and do that. So I'm usually start working at like 5 o'clock. And I will photograph training all the way through 10 o'clock. And then last year I went to the track kitchen and hung out there for as long as I needed to get my edits done and everything like that. There were a couple days that I was there until 4 p.m. And, you know, just getting all that done. And then depending on if it's a race day, I will dump that stuff, edit what I can, and then come to the front side and start shooting races or start shooting fashion, whatever it is that they need that day, and get all of that edited that I can, and then go home, maybe hang around with my cat for a little bit, and then go to bed and
therapy get up cat.
And, yes, yes, and do it all over again. Yeah. So it's a little wild. It's, I think, Oaks and Derby are sometimes like 18-hour days for me. So it ends up being a lot sometimes.
Yeah. So rewarding, but I can see how you have to put in the time. You don't know when you're going to get that one shot.
Yes. Yes, for sure. So, and there's just so much that happens, too. You just, you want to capture all of it, and you can't always do that. So it's kind of, you got to grapple with the fact that, okay, I'm probably going to miss this, and that can be disappointing sometimes, but, you know, it is what it is, and you just do what you can. So,
you referenced your full-time job. You and I both have dual careers in careers that could be standalone. We follow our passion for horse racing, and we both have a passion for the medical profession. Can you talk a little about what you do?
Yeah, sure. So I work in the pediatrics ICU, and I'm a PCA unit secretary, so I'm not a nurse. Everybody thinks when you work in the medical field that you're a nurse, and that is not true. There's a lot of other people that are very important that work there. And so basically I, when I'm the secretary, I'm kind of the bouncer to the unit. So I sit there and I make sure that people come in that are supposed to be there. And if they're not supposed to be there, we have a discussion and they usually leave. So we do that.
So you're a little threatening.
A little bit. Yeah, just a smidge. I don't have a problem calling security. So, you know, and we kind of make all that happen. And probably one of the bigger jobs that we do is if we have a kiddo that is really sick and kind of wants to, decides they want to die on us, we end up initiating what they call ECMO, which is basically life support for kiddos. And so we initiate doing that, and that's extremely important that we do. And then on the flip side, I also am a PCA, so kind of like a CNA, I assist nurses with whatever it is that they need and go into the rooms, run and grab meds for them and different stuff like that. So
I work currently in small animal emergency medicine, and I really enjoy the pace and the intensity. And there are very sad cases, which I can only imagine with you. And some veterinarians have told me they couldn't do that. You know, that's kind of a different place for everyone.
Absolutely.
Is it ever hard for you to come home after some of the cases you see?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. There's been plenty of times that, like, I drive home without the radio on, and I just cry in the car. Like, you can't not. And it really, the thing that's so fantastic about that job is that it really teaches you what life is really about. And so you sit there and you have a very different perspective on what is important in life. And so sometimes, like, I look at different things that are in life that happen, and I'm like, is that the molehill I want to die on? No, like, because guess what? That's not going to matter in 5 minutes. So, you know, and then I see, and not that it makes what is necessarily going on in my life smaller, but
I've seen a different perspective.
Yes. Yeah. It's like I've seen so much happen to so many different families, to kiddos, and it makes you realize what is really important in life and what to focus on. And on the same hand, like, we do have a lot of big sad that happens, but we also have a lot of great things that happen. We send a ton of floor, like, kiddos out to the regular floor, and then we send a lot of kiddos home, and it's so rewarding to see that type of stuff when you see a kid come in and maybe they're a trauma or something's going on, and then they walk out the door and they're fine. It's the coolest job. Really.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. So. Me too.
Yeah.
I found it's really helped my perspective as well, because I can get very laser focused on how I rode that day and mm-hmm. whether or not the horses yeah. performed well for me. Mm-hmm. And then I go and work a very busy ER shift, cannot focus on anything else, and come home, lay in bed, and I think, all right, you know, I helped three owners tonight walk through losing their lifelong pet.
Yeah.
And being able to be a part of that process, make it a little bit more peaceful for them, and just mm-hmm. thinking, okay, like, I do have multiple purposes in this Absolutely. World and people's lives, and instead of just being frustrated over things outside our control sometimes, you know, as racing often is.
Yeah. And I think, too, that that's such an important thing to have
mm-hmm.
For those of us that are high achievers. And because it is so easy to sit there and to nitpick at yourself and to go, oh my gosh, well, I missed this shot and I didn't get this shot, so I failed, or mm-hmm. I didn't do well on this ride and this horse didn't do this for me, so I failed on this. And then you're able to turn around and be like, but you know what? I helped this mom get this Coke that she needed.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, I helped this family with, you know, give this cat the shot, and so because of that the cat's doing better now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's such a positive thing,
right? To see an animal or a person turn mm-hmm. around before the end of your shift and think, okay, I helped with that.
Absolutely. 1000%.
And you and I are probably our own worst critics.
Absolutely.
So we're already going to set the bar high.
Right, right.
So it's like, we don't need to keep running it through our heads.
Uh-huh. Right. Yep.
Just need to clear our minds sometimes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
1000%. So
back to horse racing.
Yes.
Since I see, too, the parallel of how you care about people and that attention to detail.
Mm-hmm.
You've spoken to me before about the importance of developing trust and how that's something that's so important to you.
Yeah.
I can imagine how that must play out during the Breeders' Cup and Derby week. I mm-hmm. notice all of a sudden I see a lot of new press. I don't see the rest of the year. And they want access to everyone.
Yes.
And the people with the top horses also have the most on their mind and don't have the time. How do you navigate that? How do you get into people's barns to, you know, get a picture, spend time with their horse when mm-hmm. everyone else is in line to do the same thing?
A lot of it is being present throughout the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
So I find that extremely helpful, because at that point, I'm not just another person with a camera. I'm somebody that's a friendly face on the rail that
mm-hmm.
you have talked with before. And also just getting to know people on a human level, because these are people
mm-hmm.
just like you and me that just want to have a conversation. And so when you're able to connect with people in that way all year round, you know, you're able to develop that relationship. And once you have a relationship, then you're able to do building blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And also, just any time that I'm allowed in a barn, I'm always super respectful. I do what I came to do. I get my shot. I'm in. I'm out. I'm not, you know, oh, can I go over here and see this horse? No, we're done. No, we're not going mm-hmm. over and seeing that horse that we really want to see. We're just focusing on, you know, this Oaks runner, and then we're getting out.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets you much further. I mm-hmm. find just being respectful all the way around. So, and respecting their space. I'm never going to go in a barn if I'm not welcome.
Mm-hmm.
I always make sure, Michelle Lovell always kind of laughs at me, because I always go over there and I'm like, hey, can I go visit Bonnie? And she's like, why are you even asking? Just go. And I'm like, because I want you to know that I'm in your barn.
Uh-huh.
And I know what the regulations are that are on these horses now. And,
right.
you know, with the testing and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, you need to know who's around your horse so mm-hmm. that you know what's going on. I take it very, very seriously. So I always let, you know, if I'm ever in a barn, or, you know, I always want somebody with me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for that accountability, too.
Mm-hmm.
I never bring anything for the horses
mm-hmm.
just because I never want them to say, oh, well, that girl brought from home, you know, some peppermints to feed the horses, and now mm-hmm. the horse is sick.
Mm-hmm.
I never want to be responsible for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always, you know, I take the lead of the barn that I'm in.
Yeah.
So.
I like that. No assumptions.
No, absolutely mm-hmm. not.
Just staying humble,
mm-hmm.
no matter what level you've achieved.
Yep. And then also, if they're like, you know, we can't do that right now, can you come back in 20 minutes? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. And I don't like hang around the barn and be creepy. I will like,
I'm just going to stand in this corner with my camera.
Yep.
No pressure.
I go away and then I come back and I'm like, hey, is it a good time? Mm-hmm. And then if it's not, nope. Okay. You know, I'll come back tomorrow. What time works for you? Mm-hmm. I always try to meet them on their schedule.
Gotcha. So, yeah. Can you tell us a few of your favorite horses that you photographed?
So, I really love Secret Oath.
She was
one of my favorites. And then my friend.
And your friend Danielle.
Danielle was her exercise rider. Yeah. So
shout out to Danielle.
Yes. Big shout out to Danielle for everything that she's done. Mm-hmm. She's phenomenal.
She is.
So, you know, being able to really have a front seat to everything that she kind of did. And then she won the Oaks in 2022.
It seemed like, you know, she wasn't a one-time success. She really proved herself.
Yes, she did. And mm-hmm. she was a big fighter. She did race in the Preakness that year. So she just really showed that she was very gritty. And I just loved it. And she was this beautiful, deep liver chestnut that had these amazing dapples. And she was, there was just something about her. Even mm-hmm. before, like, I knew that my friend Danielle was riding her, I just loved her. And I was like, I want her to win the Oaks. Mm-hmm. I don't care. She was the one that was on my radar.
She was my pick as well. And seeing her white blaze come charging down the lane.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, geez, in the way that she had
it gave me the shivers watching her. Yeah.
She was just gritty, and she just dug in, and she won. And I was just so thrilled for the barn. Mm-hmm. And it was really cool because part of my job when I'm working for the Derby is I get to go back to the barn. Mm-hmm. And so when they come back from the testing barn, I get to capture that celebration. And so to be on that level with that barn was very, very cool. And I got a shot. Danielle was kind enough to let me come back into the barn. And I was able to catch a moment where she was just spending some time by herself with Secret Oath.
Is that when she was crying?
Mm-hmm.
I remember that photo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was a very meaningful photo for me.
I love that photo.
So yeah, I loved her. Tis the Law. A lot of people know that he is my absolute boy. Uh-huh. Love him.
Is it his personality, his running style?
You know, he was the first two-year-old that I followed all the way, like, through his entire career. Mm-hmm. So one of my friends turned me on to him. Mm-hmm. And he was like, hey, you need to watch this horse, Tis the Law. And I was like, okay. And then I saw him and I was just like, there's something about you. I like you. Mm-hmm. So he came here in 2019 for the Jockey Cup or the Jockey Club Stakes. And he didn't win, but I was one of the only media that was out there with him. So I kind of got to talk to Heather, who was his exercise rider. Mm-hmm. And she was super kind to me and just kind of let me follow him around, and then ended up meeting up with them again for that 2020 Derby because I was one of the few photographers that was back here on the backside for that.
Nice.
So he was very super special to me. Mm-hmm. And then loved Swiss Skydiver, who was also,
you have something to show.
I do. Let me grab this really quick. I was able to get this. So this is her Derby exercise towel that she wore. She was entered in both the Oaks and the Derby. And Kenny threw her out there one day in this towel. And my boss was standing next to me. And we were like, what is that? And so we thought that she was going to be in the Oaks and, I mean, in the Derby because mm-hmm. she had this on. And Kenny was like, haha, nope. So that was very cool to have this towel.
Yeah, that she wore.
You know, from a COVID year, and then also that she wore was mm-hmm. very, very neat. So that's a very special little towel that I have. But yeah, she was just really cool. And then for her to go on and to win the Preakness was really mm-hmm. special.
Take on the boys.
Yep, take on the boys, do that. So yeah, she was very cool. And just, I don't know, they all kind of... I have a ton of favorite horses, you know.
We both loved Latruska.
Yes, we did.
That was kind of what first connected us.
Yes, for sure. Mm-hmm. She was just so cool because she was one that mare that just came out of the blue mm-hmm. from nowhere.
Yeah, she was up from Mexico.
Yes.
Dominated
everything. Mm-hmm. The Monomoy girl, which everybody was like, oh my gosh. And I almost kind of felt bad mm-hmm. for her because... I don't think anybody was happy that she won.
Yeah.
You know,
there was such a fan base behind Montemoy Girl at that point.
That they just kind of sat there and they were just like, well, it's time to leave. Like, we're not even going to celebrate her. And then, you know, later in her career, people kind of started like, oh my gosh, she actually is really cool, and started really liking her. And I did really love her. She was very, very cool. And I know that I've gotten some epic shots of you on her breezing.
Those are some of my favorite photos of myself of all time.
That was very cool.
To me, I just love that you capture her intensity and that I'm just letting her do her thing, which I love about a boss mayor.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, all right, you know what to do. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to
You're along, along for the ride. Ride.
Mm-hmm. Do your thing.
Yeah. Yeah, she was very, very cool. So I was sad when she retired.
Mm-hmm. So, me too.
Yeah.
But I know she had her first full this year.
She did. Yeah, really looking forward to seeing that baby hit the track for sure. Hoping they come to Churchill.
Yes.
So
for sure.
Yeah.
What are your goals with photography and your dual career?
So with photography, I'm just kind of, I never thought I would get this far, like genuinely.
Yeah, at 38, you've made it to the top.
Yes, but I feel like there's still so much further to go with it. When I was,
I like that about you.
Yeah.
Keep raising the bar.
There's just so much to
do. You never arrive.
No, there's so much to do. When I was six, I said I wanted to just come to the Derby and photograph it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and at that time, it was just a little disposable camera.
That would have been enough.
That would have been enough. But no, 2019, here I am working for the Kentucky Derby as a freelance photographer, and I'm on the track at my first Derby. I've literally never been to the Derby before, and I'm shooting with professional equipment on the track. It was mind-blowing. So I feel like there's always something different to do. I would love to cover all the Triple Crown races 1 year and then, you know, go to a Breeders' Cup that year and just kind of hit all the big races. I would love to cover the entire Kentucky Derby Trail. I think that would be so much fun from, like, start to finish. That's a lot of miles, though, so I don't know if I can do all of that with my other job. So that would be, that might be a little far-fetched one. I would love to, like, travel internationally and do it as well, because there's a lot of international horses that I'm a big fan of, so.
Yes, you really follow the Japanese horses.
I do. Go Forever Young. So, yes, hoping he does well in the classic.
Yes.
But yes, the Japanese horses.
I love the Japanese horses too.
They're so cool, you know? And I love when they come over here for Derby and the enthusiasm that all of their connections have and the horses here too. It's phenomenal.
Right.
So.
I love that they're participating in the Kentucky Derby pretty regularly now and competing quite well.
Yeah. Well, and then we had T.O. St. Denis, who was here for an undercard race, and he placed second in that race, which was really cool. So I'm hoping that we have more horses that will come over for the undercard races, because he did so well. So
me too.
So I think that's probably where I want to go with photography. And also, I would love to branch out and, you know, cover like show jumping, Grand Prix show jumping, maybe dressage a little bit. I just want to have fun with it. That's what I'm doing.
Horses are horses.
I love just capturing all of it. It's so fun and unique, and there's always something different around every corner, and it's fantastic. I love working at the hospital. I don't want to be a nurse. I don't want to, you know, do anything other than what I'm doing, really. I love what I do. I work 312s.
Being a bouncer.
I do like being a bouncer. Like, yep. So,
yeah.
I think I've got to figure it out right now. At least for right now, I've got it figured out. So.
Right. And you're the kind of person like me. We just want to keep developing, see how far we can go.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know where this little like road is going to take me, but you know, we're going to go on that little adventure and see where we end up.
I just love the adventure that horses provide.
Absolutely. Everywhere. You can
travel the world with them.
Yes, absolutely.
The open doors.
Yep. Yeah. They're the best ride.
What advice would you have for someone just starting their career?
Best advice I can give you is just get out and shoot. A lot of people, I think, don't like to hear that, but the more that you practice, the better you're going to get. And put yourself in different situations too. So say, you know, you're not always shooting at golden hour. You're going to go out and you're going to shoot when the sun is just rising and there's not a whole lot of light. Mm-hmm. You know, put yourself in those hard situations and push yourself to get better.
We're at Churchill Downs now with Bee and Derby contender Sandman, trained by Mark Cassie. Hi, Sandman. So, Bee, yes. I saw this photo shoot you did of an eclipse over Churchill Downs. Can yes. you tell me about this?
Sure. So a little bit ago, there was a full lunar eclipse, which we don't have all the time. And I had asked permission from my boss to be able to go and stay the night at Churchill and capture this lunar eclipse. So I ended up going up into the Triple Crown balcony, hung out up there all night, and then in the morning went down and got a picture of the facade of Churchill, and then later went in and put all of the different moon phases in over Churchill.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I want to join you next time.
You should. You should.
Pull an all-nighter.
Absolutely. It was one of the best nights of my life.
You don't always have to have the new equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you have new equipment, just because you have the latest and greatest, doesn't make you a good photographer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I started with a 6D
yeah.
and a 7DD, which are very not high cameras anymore. Like mm-hmm. they are very old. And so with that, if I can work for the Kentucky Derby, surely, you know, you learn your equipment in and out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the equipment that you have. It's all about the skill that you have as mm-hmm. a photographer. So learn your craft inside and out. Follow photographers that you want to be like
mm-hmm.
and mimic their work. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. We do it all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just get out there and practice.
Veterinarians say the same thing. Mm-hmm. People want to jump to having diagnostics and having a nice ultrasound machine right out of school, mm-hmm. and they say, as much as you can, try to learn with your hands.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Learn
yeah.
that feel.
It's going to make you better.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to
make harder
better.
In the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, 1,000%. And you're going to get discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to sit there and you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I'm going to throw this camera away and I'm not going to do this again.
Uh-huh.
You know, but and there were so many mornings for me that I was like that on the backside. And I remember there was another photographer that even told me, yeah, I won't even touch the backside of Churchill
mm-hmm.
because until the sun comes up, because the images are just so awful.
Mm.
And I was just kind of like, okay. Mm-hmm. So I just pushed through, and now I'm kind of known for shooting in the early mornings.
Mm-hmm.
Like
catching that sunrise
yeah.
with a horse training.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Doing that. You know, I ran into KK downstairs, and he was like, yeah, it's kind of weird to see you here because you're so used to, you know, seeing you in the mornings and in the dark. And I'm like, yep, I'm usually out here in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just see how far you can push yourself.
And as a writer, that's something I noticed, the people who show up, kind of what you were talking about with developing mm-hmm. that respect and trust in barns. You notice the people who show up early, especially
yes.
during Derby week.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice the ones who come at comfortable hour.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
You definitely want to give your time more so to the people who are up when you're up. And
mm-hmm.
I feel like
absolutely.
As a trainer, they must feel the same way. They're not having a day off. Mm-hmm. They're up so early. They're at the barn earlier than I am.
Right.
And so for you to ask for their time and not be showing mutual, like, you know, we're all putting our best foot forward for
mm-hmm.
this job.
Absolutely. 1,000%.
Yeah.
1,000%. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this has been so cool to hear about what it's like behind the lens.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Your journey and just how you've had this dream and made it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I hope a lot of people listening to this will get inspired.
Absolutely. I hope so, too. So yeah. There's room on the rail. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Now for a moment from our next episode with Jimmy Lovett, airing May 8th, 2025.
If you're young, you're getting out of college or you're trying to figure out what you want to do, and if mm-hmm. this is the industry you want to be in, take those opportunities and go.
Boundless is a podcast that explores the stories of individuals who have accomplished the seemingly impossible by breaking molds and redefining success through unique challenges, pivotal moments, and unbreakable determination. This episode of Boundless is brought to you by AmWager, where horse racing fans can be part of the action anytime, anywhere. Watch, wager, and enjoy races from tracks across the country on a fast, secure platform built for racing enthusiasts. Whether you're following your favorite horses or jockeys or discovering new tracks, AmWager makes it easy to stay connected to the sport you love. Getting started is simple.
Sign up today at amwager.com and enjoy a 100% deposit match. Terms apply. See amwager.com for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, help is available. Please call 1-800-GAMBLER.